This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's time now for a check-in on sports with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Greetings, Bill.
Hello, Meghna.
So lots of things going on this week with the Bruins in the playoffs and a women's basketball coach stepping down amid allegations of bullying. Yeah,
but first, we have to talk about the Red Sox and their former center fielder, Jacoby Ellsbury, now wearing pinstripes. Bill, he was back at Fenway Park last night for his first game as a Yankee. And here's a guy who helped the Red Sox win two World Series. And guess what? Guess what the fans did, Bill?
Well, they did what Boston fans are accustomed to doing.
I'm shocked.
When somebody comes
in
back
glory.
Employed by the Yankees.
They booed. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe writes, Ellsbury's handsome head was added to the Rushmore of fan stupidity. Pretty good. Pretty good line there. But what do you think, Bill? After fans booed him, he provided more evidence of why the Yankees signed him in the first place.
That one is ripped to center field. Bradley back, still back, still back, and it looks like it went off the glove of a fan. Ellsbury's rounding second. He's going to go to third, but the second base umpire, Phil Cuzzi, has his hands over his head.
So, Bill, a leadoff triple. He helped the Red Sox. Yankees beat the Red Sox 9-3.
You said he helped the Red Sox. That was what he used to do.
That's what he used to do. Hmm. So he helps the Yankees beat the Red Sox 9-3. Two hits, two RBIs, two runs scored. Oh, boy.
Yeah, 342 is what he was hitting the last time I looked, eight stolen bases. I don't think the Red Sox have a regular player hitting as high as 342 right now. I might be wrong, but I don't think
so. Not to mention a regular leadoff hitter.
No, nobody doing that very well.
So they don't have a leadoff hitter. They've gone through five leadoff men this year. They don't look like they're playing really well. What's your analysis?
My analysis is that it is the 23rd of April.
He says checking
probably
his watch.
It's too early to panic,
all right.
Even for fans in Boston.
Okay, well, I'm happy that I get to talk about a team that is doing well, the Bruins. They were out of town, but they continue to dominate the Detroit Red Wings in the first round of the NHL playoffs. They won last night 3-0, and they lead the series 2-1. Now, here's Red Wings head coach Mike Babcock delivering what can only be described as a pretty devastating post-mortem on last night's game.
No, I'm not trying to take anything away from them because they played well. They were better than us all night long. But we gave them two goals. It was almost like the energy in the building, the excitement or whatever, we didn't handle that very good. We were off kilter right from the get-go. We fumbled the puck around. I didn't think we got going at all until maybe 32 minutes into the game.
So, Bill, I'm not quite sure what I'm hearing there. Is Mike Babcock blaming the fans for the Red Wings performance?
Well, I think the positive spin is he's reminding his players that you have to play well right from the beginning of the game and not wait 32 minutes to start doing that. The Bruins are bigger. They're more physical. Usually when you're playing a team that's more physical, the only advantage you have is that they commit penalties. They put you on the power play. But to take advantage of that advantage, you have to score when
right.
you get the power play. And that's what the Red Wings have not been very good at doing all year long.
Right. In fact, didn't they have a power, like a 5-3
yeah,
power
didn't
play?
Do
them
any
they
good.
Couldn't convert to a score. Then.
Right. And unfortunately, you may remember, I think it was on this program that I mentioned that before this series started, the Detroit coach had said, we're going to have extra practices to work on our power play, but apparently they didn't have enough extra practices for it to pay off so far.
Bill, let's move on to another story out today about Kelly Greenberg. She spent 10 years head coach of the Boston University's women's basketball team. She resigned in the wake of allegations that she was emotionally abusive to her players. BU has convened a panel to explore allegations that she mistreated players and that her coaching style drove at least four of them to quit last year. What do we know about this story?
Well, we know it's never a good sign when numbers of the players that you recruited leave and when they say that the reason they've left is because you have mistreated them in one way or another. I think this is going to be one of those, it looks like this already is, one of those stories where both sides decide that the best way to save face is for everybody to step away and say, this is not a relationship that's going to work any longer. The coach has denied some of the things that apparently the panel has said and has found. And that is, of course, so that she can look for a job somewhere else.
Mm. Well, it's a story that I feel like we hear a lot of these stories about coaches facing these kinds of allegations.
Unhappily, you're right. It doesn't go away. And lots of coaches seem to think that there is no line between inspiring and bullying.
Mm. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. It airs Saturdays at 7 a.m. again at 7 p.m. He joins us Wednesdays right here on Radio Boston. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Anthony.